speaker. And I'm looking forward to hearing a share. Without further ado, I give you faith.
Right on.
Come on, give me another noise.
I'm an addict. My name is Faith. Good morning, everybody. Oh, man, I'd like to thank God for another day clean. And also, I'd like to thank this convention committee for asking me to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. I came up from North Carolina yesterday, and the devil was really, really working on us trying to get up here yesterday. You know, we got a whole lot of clean time in the car. And the devil was still trying to work with us, you know. But we made it. You know, one wants to get out and walk. Two of us wants to smoke. One wants to keep on driving, you know what I'm saying? And that lady that's telling us to go left or right, she's wrong, you know. And then after all that, we just put the music on and then started dancing in traffic in D.C. And we made it. And we made it here. I'm real, real grateful to be here. And a guy called me in January and asked me about this, tell me to do this topic for him. And me and him became friends a couple years ago. And I'm real glad that he asked me to come up to Ocean City to do this. You know, when you asked to share this morning, y'all, for me, you know, my knees were shaking and shit. I had runs and everything. You know it. Where you at? And so I just jumped right on up, went out in the balcony, smoked a couple cigarettes, called a couple friends, you know. Was talking to them, you know. What you want, Faith? It's 7:30 in the morning. I need to talk. So we talked and everything, and I ended up calling my sponsor, and we did what we do together. But I feel a whole lot better now, y'all. And you know, the gratitude thing, I had to really find out what it meant for real because so a lot of people tell me a lot of good things about me since I've been in this process. Because, see, I really hadn't planned on staying this long, 9 years and 3 months. You know. By the way of Delaware, coming to North Carolina, that was not my plan. You know, and but I kept on coming, and I heard my story. And I stayed. And I kept on seeing the same people make these meetings in my area in North Carolina. And so I kept on coming, and I stayed. You know, the gratitude and the grateful and being grateful really ran back to back for me because I'm real grateful that my sister took care of my child when she looked at me and said, girl, you getting fucked up. I said, I am? She said, yes, you are. So she ended up taking my child and taking care of her for a little while when she got 12 years old, you know. And I got four other sisters and one brother, and I'm the oldest, you know. And me and my brother, we used together. And that was that, you know. But I'm real grateful that my sister had the opportunity to do that for me and take care of my child for me. And they didn't give up on me, you know, and they didn't give up on me at all. And I just made a decision to move in January 2000, to come down to North Carolina. You know, when I come up here to this convention, I have the opportunity to see my friends that I do know in this area. You know, and if you knew, you know, they say keep coming. You know, and for some days, y'all, I'm still new. You know, some days I still feel like I'm new. I'm new in this process. I don't know, y'all. I just know I didn't want to stay, but I stayed. You know, and I went through some things here, you know, and then I really fitted in the new area that I lived in, and I did what was necessary to stay clean. You know, and I'm real, real thankful. I'm real thankful for that, you know. And y'all told me to get a sponsor, and I did, you know, and work some steps. You know, this is real, real overwhelming, you know, because a lot of people tell me, like I said, a lot of good things about me, and I got to believe it, you know what I'm saying? I have to believe it, you know, and some days I do and some days I don't, you know, but it can't get no better than this, you know, so, you know, I really want to stay, you know. My decision is to stay now, you know what I'm saying, and do some more work on me, you know. But I don't know. I know that when I was using, I had a lot of friends in active addiction, and I don't know where they at now. I don't know where they at. But I do know when I go to Delaware home to some meetings and stuff, I do see some people that I grew up with, I went to school with, we smoked that marijuana with, and I didn't know that they picked up the dope too, you know what I'm saying, because I went one way and they went another. But I'm real grateful that when I do go up there that I do see them in meetings, you know what I mean? And what really got me last night was my baby sister, she's 29, and it's a lady here that, a girl she grew up with, y'all, and she went to school with, and she clean, you know, and I remember them used to take our little roaches and shit and put them out, pick the paper off and make a joint for them in the basement, you know, and I looked at her, and I just embraced her and gave her a hug, you know, and I know that this program works, you know, and she really, really made me real emotional when I seen her, you know. And as of now, my daughter now is 27, and that's the only child I have, and she is, and my grandson, he's 6 now, and they doing okay. They doing all right, you know, and because she got some help, like I had some help, you know. She got some help, and I told her to use that help, you know, because they was there for me when I wanted to get high, and I needed a babysitter. You know, they were there for me. But I don't know, just being real, real grateful really is really overwhelming for me. It really is. It really is. You know, and coming on up here and stuff, we talking and everything about what we going to do and everything, you know. And I wanted to act out. You know, I wanted to act out. And, yeah, I did. I hear you over there. Yeah, I did. I wanted to act out a little bit. But I don't, it's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? I already see the pattern that God and stepped in. It's not going to happen, you know. And you know what the real thing about that, the real truth about that is that, the person that I want to act out with, he's not available. Tell me about it. He's not available now. But that's what I know. That's what I want to act out with. You, I'm relating, huh? Okay. Oh, I'm gonna stick on gratitude, but I am real grateful. Okay, I'm real grateful. And matter of fact, and he might be in here. But I'm not going to look around this whole room to see if he is or not. But he just might be in here. You know what I'm saying? And what we had at the time, it lasted just as long as it was supposed to last. You know, and yes, I was hurt. Yes, I still do love you. But I you made a decision to move on, so Faith has to do that too. You know, I have to do that too. And then if you are in here, you know, I want to say it one more time. Just one more time. You know, one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. It lasted just as long as it was supposed to last. I still love you. Yes. And the acting out part, I don't think that's going to work, baby. I don't think that's going to work. You know, but looking all around the room, I'm not going to do that. But I got this feel, you know, this feeling. Yeah, he's up in here. You know, yeah, but it is, yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to get some help, Yeah, you right. I'm trying to get some help. And I love you, you know, for that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm understand when I was talking about that coming up here, you know what I mean? I was like, well, they ain't going to judge me if I sneak off. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? And I might not say nothing. You know, but, hey, get a hug and keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? And thank you for the experience. You know, thank you for the experience. And, yeah, y'all, because it really didn't feel right at the end, you know. It really didn't feel right at the end, you know what I mean? So somebody had to make the move, and he decided to make that. He decided to make that move. You know, I really thought when I was going to share that I was going to be all crying and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? But I think I got that out the way, you know. I think I got that out the way, and but some days, you know what I'm saying, I'm lonely, you know what I mean, and but I'm gonna be all right. And my friend tells me I need to do what single people do, so I'm take that what he says, you know, and behave myself. That's just what he said, and I love him for that, for telling me to do that, you know. But y'all, I'm real grateful for this process. I'm real grateful for the experience that I just had for 2.5 years. You know, yeah, that's a long time. Yeah, it's almost there, baby. Yeah, 3 years almost was there, yeah. And now I'm at the point where do you talk or you don't talk? You know what I'm saying? And okay. That's my, that's that thing back right there on the right-hand side. You know what I mean? She say, don't talk, don't talk. I love her to death, and she's in my area, and I'm real grateful that she's here today to support me, too, and my sponsorship family to support me in this this topic. You know, y'all, it's a lot of things that we go through, and I heard a lady say this thing last night, you know what I'm saying? But see, I wasn't going to call nobody that ain't got no experience in it. And I don't want to be selfish about that neither. I don't want nobody to call me if I don't have any in it. You know what I'm saying? And lately, since I've been getting through this, these feelings and everything, some people have been calling me about this. And I'm listening to them, and I'm saying, you know, I can't say don't go, and I'm not going to say don't do it. You know what I mean? But how are you going to feel after it's over with, you know? How are you going to feel when it's over with, you know? I don't know. I just listen to them, and they ramble, and they ramble to listen to me, so I can ramble and listen to them, you know. But, you know, I've been on this 90 and 90 thing for a minute now, 90 meetings in 90 days, and all over again, you know. This must be day 69. Shoot, I'm telling you, and I can't stop. You know what I'm saying? I got to do it again and again, you know, so I can get better, you know. But life is good, you know what I'm saying? I got a decent job, you know. I really do. I have a real decent job with the state. I appreciate that, you know. My daughter's fine. My grandson is fine, you know. I can't ask for no much more, you know that, you know, than that, just to stay in this process, you know, and get better, get some more experience, get some more pain, try to avoid the pain, for real, because that shit don't feel good at all, you know, try to avoid a lot of that, you know, for real. But I don't know if my 30 minutes is up or not.
No, it's not, honey.
It's not, baby. Okay. Well, you know what, baby? It's up for me. It's up for me. And I'd like to thank this committee again, my friend Sherman, for calling me and asking me to come up here and do this for him. You know, I need to thank God also, you know, for placing a lot of people in my life. A lot of people in my life, you know. Yes, I got this thing on my phone, right, Alan? I do it on Fridays now. If I get your number, remember you're going to get it on Friday, okay? And it says, I just want to say hi and have a good weekend. Love, Faith. And Alan, I've been doing this for almost a year now, you know. And when you go out of town in the convention queen, like I am, I get numbers, you know what I'm saying? But I ain't got time to call everybody, so you know, and talk. So I do that to let them know that I'm thinking about them and that I love them, okay? And it makes me feel good to get the responses back, you know. It makes me feel real good to get that back. I don't know. I know I'm done, baby. I'm done, you know. I ain't going to act out. Y'all see me, come give me a hug. Yeah, I'm going to say it one more time. If you're in here, I love you. And we both going to keep coming. Thank you for letting me share.
Again, I'm sure I'm definitely at it. Yeah. Thanks, Faith, for sharing experience, strength, and hope. Tell you that I love you too, baby. Thank you. Okay. And for our next speaker, you ready?
Yeah.
Gay Allen.
Hi, my name is Alan. I'm an addict. Thank you very much, Faith. And yeah, we definitely need to do a number thing because I like doing that number thing. You know, we're totally there. I am. I'm really grateful to be here. How about that speaker last night, Alvin? I don't know you guys, but he rocked me, man. I'm telling you, right on. And if you didn't get here in time, you didn't get a chance to be able to do that by the tape, the CD, because you know what? It's worth it. He had a really solid, strong message of recovery, just right on through. It wasn't, you know, a lot of us, people who are not like these, you know, on the diocese kind of speakers are sitting there going ums and ahs and, you know, well, you know, yeah, he's not like that. He was like right straight on through. It's like you can sit there and listen to that five times. That was just totally awesome. And gratitude is the topic here, in case you just woke up and you went, what the fuck am I doing in an NA meeting, you know? It's, you know, chances are if you came out of a nod and you're here, you know, it's a safe place, go ahead and stay, you know. I just wanted to kind of let you know. Gratitude, you know what, I got a sense of gratitude. I went and pulled this shirt out. I'm going to turn around and show it to you. This is all the conventions that we've had, the CMP conventions. You saw all the banners up there yesterday. Every one of them is listed on this shirt. And that's kind of what I wanted to tie into this topic of gratitude. Because I will tell you that, you know, we have steps and we have traditions. Now, if I don't work the steps, I use. If we don't work the traditions, we all use. And so my gratitude today is, thank God for the traditions. Thank you for the people who adhere to them, for the people who care about them, for the people who, you know, who saw the need and were able to bring this thing up. Now, I'm going to take you back into just a little bit of history. I don't want to bore anybody with all this kind of stuff, but just a tad of history about where the traditions really came from. Because they didn't just come in the 30s and 40s. They actually came because in the 1800s, you know, in the 1800s, right around 1840, there was, for whatever reason, and sociologists, apparently don't really know why, but right around that time was one of the heaviest times of alcohol and drug and other, addiction that happened in America. For some reason back then, it was like people just discovered these things and they said, this stuff is awesome, you know. Things like, you know, whether it was laudanum, for those of you who are dope fiends who know what that shit is, or alcohol or whatever it was, those people actually, it just hit America like a storm. I mean, it was like rock and roll music. It just went all over. And as a result, a lot of people were dying in the streets. Because that's what happens to addicts who have no way of having any treatment, is they die in the streets. And in Baltimore, 6 or 8 guys got together, and they were sitting around going, you know what, nobody understands what's going on with us, and neither do we. And so, you know, what I wish was that I could have you in my pocket when I wanted to take a next drink. So that you would sit there and say, you know, I don't think this problem really needs to be solved that way. There's probably a better way to solve it. And I understand what you're going through. And I think if I was there, I'd go through the same thing. But since I'm not there, I got a little outside perspective. Let me tell you, don't do it. You know, and these people got together and they said, that's a good idea. And so we all hear that. That's the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. You know, and it works, and we know it works. And so what happened was, from that little group, they started, you know, other people joined. They say, I want to be a part of this. And it started in Baltimore, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And they thought this had never happened before. They said, we are the first people to ever do anything like this, and they might have been. And so they decided to name themselves after the first president. So they called themselves the Washingtonians, after George Washington. And to let you know how successful one addict helping another is, the Washingtonians started with 6 people in 1940. By 1945, the estimates are there were 500,000 people who were part of this Washingtonian society who were staying clean through the Washingtonian group. 500,000. Let's put that in perspective. Alcoholics Anonymous, you probably heard of that one. Alcoholics Anonymous actually started after 5 years. Alcoholics Anonymous had about 1,000 people. 1,000. They had 500,000 people around the world. And there was no modern communications. This is word of mouth, you know. I mean, you know, think back with the Pony Express was how you did mail. I mean, just up and down the Mississippi and the Ohio and you know, through the Chesapeake and just people like that. So, I mean, it was that successful. So the model existed. Now, they did a couple of things different than what we do today. So they had people who were going around who were like, I am the celebrity speaker. I am the celebrity speaker. And let me tell you that I endorse the following stuff, you know. So you come here, I'll tell you how to not use. And then I'll sell you my stuff. Now, and they thought that was a good idea because the idea was, if I sell you my stuff, then I can afford to come. So this is how I'm going to pay for my transportation. So it makes sense that I would want to do that. And so they did. And they had people who supported causes. You know, when temperance was sort of coming up back then, people would show up and they would support. Well, of course, you know, temperance isn't being temperate. Temperance is complete abstinence, and not only abstinence, but we're going to make it the law that, you know, we're going to put you in jail and all those kind of things. And they had like sort of celebrity speakers, and they had those kind of things. And this whole unity thing, yeah, it didn't happen. If they didn't like you, you couldn't show up. You had to go somewhere else. Because it wasn't open membership. Now, I didn't want to go long into the history, but what I wanted to tell you was this was a fad in the United States that got 500,000 people going. By 1948, 3 years later, now they had 500,000 people in a time when the country wasn't that big. By 1948, they were gone. This is what happens, the difference between a fad and something that's really a spiritual program, you know, of recovery that's working. In 8 years, they just blossomed and died. They were so dead that Bill Wilson had never heard of them. So AA was going around. AA had been around 5, 6, 7, 8 years or 10 years or whatever it was. And then guess what? They were looking around going, you know what? This fellowship is tearing itself apart. What's the matter? And they said, go back in history and look and see what it was. Find out what the predecessors did to solve the problem. So I'm going to get back to, I will tell you, I am so glad that the predecessors went back and solved the problem. I mean, that is like serious gratitude in my life. Because you know what? It didn't have to happen that way. It did not have to happen that way. And, you know, this 12-step fellowship thing, it could have just grown, blossomed, and died just like anything else. And Narcotics Anonymous did the same thing. Narcotics Anonymous looked around and said, you know what, we can't just do this as if it's something, we got something that's really great, that really works for drug addicts. And not just any addicts. Not just heroin addicts, not just pill addicts, not just alcohol addicts, not just... It works because the problem is the disease of addiction, not any one specific drug. And so because of that, they had a very broad message. And they could have said, you know, some of these kind of limiting traditions, maybe we can take a much more expansive approach because we've got a more inclusive message. We've got a more expansive message. Let's take a more inclusive approach to the traditions and a more expansive, you know, maybe a little bit of sponsorship deals if we need to be able to fund us so that we can do and join this worldwide fellowship. It could have happened like that. It could have. You know why I say that? Because our literature says we're more alike than we're different. Now, if you turned to me and you said, Alan, I want you to put together a program of recovery. I want you to structure it. I want you to get the business plan going. I want you to use this PMP specialization to be able to get together a strategic plan, you know, a Donald Trump kind of a thing, you know, get it all. I probably would have gone that way because, I mean, that's a business model. You know, it is a proven business model to be able to do that. Yeah, but they didn't. They didn't. They said, no, what? You know what? We are going to be grateful for what we got and what our predecessors provided for us. Oh, my God. That is, you know, now I've been here a couple of days. I am like, okay, I get it. Now. I didn't for a while. You know, our literature does say that sometimes it's not until we're involved in service that we really start to learn about the traditions. Well, that's true. It's sort of not really until we start breaking the traditions do we really learn about the traditions. Okay, you know, I had an 8-step. I've got a 9-step. I'm trying to do my best. I'll leave it at that. However, this is the big gratitude. So the big gratitude I have for Narcotics Anonymous is that it not only saved my life, but it saved our life. So and I want to get that out because, you know what, if I don't have the big picture, the small picture is not going to make as much sense. Now, here's the small picture for me. I suffer from two major, major fears. Way down in my bones, right there standing side by side, it's the little twin brother right next to my addiction, are two major fears. The one is that I have this sense that I really am a victim of the universe. I mean, you know, when I grew up in a parenting model that said, you know, the way we do this is we make you feel guilty when you do something bad. And that kind of works, you know. I mean, it's sort of not, you know. And so I grew up with all the good stuff, the guilt and the remorse. I learned shame early on, you know. I was taught about embarrassment. Now, I will tell you, I didn't know what all those things were individually, but I knew as a whole they touched something really deep inside me. They did then, they do now. You know, somewhere so far down deep that I don't change, I have to deal. And so that, you know, and the other thing I have is that I have this fundamental belief that I am different. Now, that sounds sort of odd because I actually have a twin sister. And I have a perfect twin sister, and we loved each other. We still love each other. I have a family. It's a loving kind of, you know, one of these nuclear families, kind of large-ish. But, you know, it's nevertheless a loving nuclear family. And you would think that in all of that, I would have this sense of togetherness. But I'm not like that. I have this sense about being different on a lot of different levels, You know, I turned out to be kind of, you know, introverted, kind of bright, kind of precocious, all those kind of things. And so I would go out and just play by myself. I would sit and read books, you know, sort of by myself. I did a lot of this by myself kind of stuff. In fact, when I would use, I would go out there and I would get my shit, you know, and then I would go retreat someplace and get high. I mean, that's my story. I wasn't one of these, you know, let's be a really public kind of social, I wasn't like that. You know, I wanted to go find my stash and then drag it back to my hole someplace. And so But, you know, here's where, this is what that feels like, though. It feels like feelings of abandonment. Because, you see, I didn't get that I was leaving you. I got that you were not, you were leaving me. And that may sound crazy, but, you know, I mean, when I was young, I didn't get the difference. You know, the emotion, the heart doesn't have a brain. Mine doesn't, clearly. And so when I would leave you, somehow I would wonder why you weren't there for me. And so, you know, there was that sense of being alone but being abandoned at the same time. There was a sense of betrayal. It's like, how come, God, you made me different? You know, people and my parents and everybody would say, oh, you're so gifted, you know, you're so smart, you're so this, you're so that, you know, whatever. And it would be like, yeah, but I don't want to be so whatever, you know. We're going to put you in a special class, you know. Well, I don't want to be in special class, you know. I want to be with my sister. Well, you know, your sister, she's going to come along too, except she's not going to be there, you know. And it was like that, you know, and I felt betrayed from that. It's like, you know when I was young, I was like, I don't think I want that. And I will tell you, as I began realizing my active addiction, I felt that was just simply the universe betraying me one more time. It's like, why can't I use like everybody else? Why does it not work like that for me? I don't get it. You know, and I don't know what to do about it except just use more. You know, it's like, this is who I am. I'm the guy who's going to die someplace with a spike in my neck. I mean, that's just who I am. I mean, you know, it's hopeless. That hopelessness was there. And there was a sense of denial, too. Because my way of dealing with that was to say, no, it's not really true. Is not really true. I'm not really different. And so I would dress like everybody else. I would dress to be the same as everybody else. I would be like, you know, trying to show up like people would say, well, how'd you do? You know, and you take a test. How'd you do on that test? And I'd be like, well, you know, I did okay. You know, and I wouldn't want to say, well, I got an A. You know, I mean, I always get A's. What, you know, what? It's like, you know, I bought these things early on at 7-Eleven, you know. I mean, I always, you know. But I wouldn't want to tell people that, you know. It was like, I don't want to be different. Don't make me different. You know, just make me one of y'all, you know. But what happened? Now, here's the interesting thing for me. I learned that, so being a victim of various ways, and usually a victim of myself, I'll get that. I mean, I'm not going to, you know. And because I will tell you, self-discipline to me is still a guilt trip. It is still a guilt trip. If I need to do something, it's like, why didn't you show up like this? Why can't you do this? Why are you so stupid? You can't do this. Or, you know, you knew you were going to try and get up in the morning. Why can't you do that? What's the matter with you? And just beat myself up with stuff like that. I mean, that's still what I do, you know. The problem, though, I found with being a victim, for me, is that what my answer to being a victim is rage. The only way that I can overcome that sense that I've been betrayed, that I've been victimized, that, you know, is to stand up and say, you know, is to be so mad about it that I don't feel it anymore, that I can then go ahead and do probably what I should have done before. But rage only take me so far, I have found, over and over and over again. If I, you know, and I this is just for me, if I could be angry forever, I probably would have chosen that. I probably would have just picked that card up and said, okay, this is that solution to that problem. But you know what? I can't. And in particular, you know, and I have found that Narcotics Anonymous is a solution to that, though. And it's a slow solution. It's not as fast as being able to get angry at somebody or get angry at institutions. I like what I heard last night about Alvin saying he went out and joined institutions which were sort of fundamentally, let's change, let's, you know, become powerful and change things and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I did a little bit of that kind of stuff myself. But, you know, I found that I couldn't really carry that with me as well as I wanted to. But what I found in Narcotics Anonymous, interestingly enough, is the answer to for me, to that feeling of abandonment and of betrayal and guilt and all that, is gratitude. Gratitude. Never expected that. Never expected that. Didn't know where it was going to come from like that. But what I have found in here is the fact is, gratitude for me is a feeling of, you know what, it is, it can start as small. Here's opening the door for me. Opening the door for me is, yeah, they didn't give me the opportunities they should have, and they didn't love me like they should have, and they didn't show up like they could have, and I wanted them to, but they showed up some. They showed up some. You know what? And that just cracks the door open. You know, and it's interesting, they showed up some, then eventually turns it into, well, you know, they did the best they could. And it's not really about them, is it? You know, it's not about what they did or didn't do or wanted to do or tried to do. It's, yeah, no, I guess it's about me, you know. It's about what's going on inside me and you know, how come I'm carrying this stuff around? And even if it's all true, and most of it was, why don't we just kind of stop here and reset the clock? You know, why don't we just start from here? Because, interestingly, I did, for a brief time, I went to a counselor who, and this is after I'd been in recovery for a little while, and this is my story, this is not all stories, but this is my story, which is I went to this counselor and we sat down and we still were talking about stuff because I was going through some job transition stuff. But he wanted to get into the family of origin stuff and he wanted to, let's go back to what happened and let's go back to, you know, what happened when, you know, you were, you know, young and going to church and what did they do to you? And, he wanted to go back there. And I was like, you know, I wanted to go there too. Because, that sounded right, you know. It sounded like there's something there that needed to be looked at, that needed to be understood, that needed to... And then I was like, well, wait a minute, I've done step work. I know that knowledge is not the way to get there. You see, this is my brain trying to tell my heart what my heart should be feeling. And my brain... doesn't work like that. You see, if that had worked, drugs would have worked for me. Because drugs had a really good impact of being able to stifle the heart just for a little bit so that the brain could come up with something. And then the brain would come up with the answer and then say, okay, heart, we're done, right? Yeah, well, no. Never. Always never. And this is, you know, and so... So as the psychologist was trying to kind of take me there and go back there, I'm like, okay, I'd like to know a little bit more about that myself. But you know what? This is going to have to end someplace. And he was like, look, the end of guilt is going to be knowing what happened so that you can sort of put a stop to it of some sort. And I went, yeah, that's true. The end of guilt is knowing what happened so that I can reset the clock. I absolutely get that. But you know what? If we go back that way and I find people to blame for this, I am using that anger thing to be able to overcome the victim and the guilt and the other stuff that I feel, which means I'm going to be trapped in that cycle again. Again. Narcotics Anonymous offers a different method for being able to do this. Narcotics, it's slower, it's a little more painful, but it is about working my way out of that stuff. And what I get from that has been gratitude. And here's where I got the gratitude. So if you're wondering, steps, why do we work the steps? Well, I will tell you, my experience is the gratitude came for me in the 11th step. In the 11th step, it has always been such a powerful, powerful place for me. For in the 11th step, there's a couple of things that our 11th step says that are just simply phenomenal to me. The first is, or well, not the first, but for me, one of the first results of meditation is emotional balance. That's in our basic text. Oh my God. Emotional balance. You know, I didn't come here to Narcotics Anonymous because I was emotionally balanced. I came here kind of on, you know, because I was an emotional roller coaster, you know. I mean, I had heard somebody say this once, and I'm going to borrow it from them. If they had come in and said, the problem with you is you have a dual personality disorder, I'd have said, oh, thank God there's only two, you know. Oh, my God, I can deal with two, you know. That would be great. But, yeah, no, my emotions were like this. And so part of me would be feeling really happy, and part of me would be feeling really bad. And then part of me would feel like the happy part was a bad part to feel, and the bad part was a bad part to feel. So I'd bring a third part in to be able to feel just simply confused, and on it would go. And so you know, it the deal there was, you know, emotional balance was something I really wanted. The other thing it says in the 11th step is it says prayer works. Now, I will tell you that prayer works. The first thing it starts off with is sometimes we feel confused in our prayers. Maybe what we need to do is pray for the ability to pray with clarity. Well, that's a thought, you know. I mean, who would have thought that would be working? It'd be like praying on my cell phone saying, you know, I got a little bit of static. Would you get rid of static, please? Yeah, cell phone companies don't care about that. And mine doesn't. And so, however, apparently our basic text says that's our experience. So, I mean, that's not even a theory. It's like, and then it goes on to say that our experience is that, you know, prayer works. And that, however, there's a caution. You need to be careful what you pray for. Because our experience has shown that sometimes we will pray for things and, in fact, get them. And then we need to pray to have them removed because we are not spiritually prepared to be able to get what we prayed for. Well, that's true for me. And I will say, you know what? Gratitude falls into that camp just a little bit for me. Gratitude is not the kind of thing, because you know what? There are real things, real problems that I have in my past that need to be dealt with. There are real individuals and real situations in my past that need to be dealt with seriously. I can't just sort of say, oh, I forgive you, I love you, you know, go ahead and beat me up again. This time harder because I'm bigger, you know? I mean, you know, it can't be like that. It's got to, you know, there are situations that need to be dealt with directly. And you know what? Fake gratitude is not gratitude. I don't know what it is, but it ain't gratitude. So the deal is, you know, if you want to have that gratitude, you need to be willing to be spiritually prepared to be able to feel that gratitude. You know? And so the 11th step for me, again, is like, it's hugely powerful, you know. It is, in fact, in the core of the NA program, it seems to me, is that whole concept of, you know what, when we get to the point where we can be praying for things like gratitude, like emotional balance, like, you know, a spiritual conscious contact with the God of our understanding, when we can get to the point where we value those kind of things, then what I have found is that, yes, in fact, I now value what Narcotics Anonymous offers. It offers a fellowship of people who understand me and who I understand. It offers a way to be able to take even my darkest moments and turn them into something that is useful, that is productive, that is valuable to somebody else. It offers me a way to be able to just, you know, deal with things on a daily basis that need to be dealt with so they don't become bigger. And all of that adds up to, it offers me a fellowship of hope and strength and courage that I can come to and get stuff. And that is the secret to be the feeling of being different. See, that's my other little, you know, horse that drives this attic carriage for me, is this sense about being different. But Narcotics Anonymous offers me a solution to that as well. It's okay to be different for me, because my experiences are mine. I own them. I want them. I cherish them. I have pictures of my, you know, some pictures, not so many from my childhood, but I have that. But we share a common fellowship. We share a common purpose to be able to help pass, you know, carry a message, to be able to find spiritual growth and spiritual fulfillment. We carry this kind of a purpose with us all. And in that, we are very, very much alike. this solution is very, very much alike for all of us, and it doesn't matter about any of the other things that can make us individually different. And so with gratitude comes a set of responsibilities, too, you know? I mean, and I know that may sound odd. It's like, but here's what happens to me. When I am in a grateful, well-connected, well-spiritually fit kind of place, I get a sense of power out of that. A sense of power out of that. You know, where I can go up to somebody and you know, there are things that used to just crush me. I, you know, go to a dance when I was in high school, and I would walk up to some girl and say, "Hey, would you like to dance?" You know? And I never went to the really, really super hotties. No, I didn't have that kind of, I didn't have that thing going on. I mean, I'd have to be really high to show up like that, you know? Now, if I was really high, I would show up like that. But generally, you know, I'd go up. So I'd go up to some, you know, like me, who weren't all that super, super, you know, what you're going to, and I'd say, "You want to dance?" And if they said no, I would be like, "Oh my God, I'm going to shoot myself." You know? "Oh my God, I am going to shoot myself. I can't handle this kind of rejection and stuff. I can't deal with that sort of stuff." And so I would not do it most of the time. But when I would do it, I would sort of reach out and try and do it. But when I am spiritually connected and spiritually fit and stuff, at an NA dance or whatever, I can go up to anybody and say, "Hey, let's dance. Come on, let's go do it." And if they say no, I'd be like, "So too bad for you. Don't come here around tomorrow looking for somebody to dance with. I ain't going to be here. You had your chance. You ain't showing up today. You ain't showing up tomorrow. You don't even need my number." You know? There's a problem with that. Some of you who are laughing identify with the problem. Gratitude can be like that. Gratitude is empowering. You know, this idea about working a program and being spiritually fit is, in fact, empowering. I don't always know how to deal with empowering. You know, sometimes I'll be at work and I will be like, "Look, I got this. I know this. You do this. You do this. You go there." But, you know, and it's like, you know, and then somewhere in the back of my mind will be going, "Dude, you've been in recovery longer than that. You know better." You know, just think what happens when you go to an area service or a regional service or even a group conscience and you start telling people, "Well, you be the coffee maker and you be the greeter and you be the leader," and what's going to happen to that? Yeah, it's like herding cats, man. You know, they're going to go meow and just out the door, and they're going to go, and nothing's going to happen. It's going to completely fall apart, you know. And it happens like that at work, too. So the fact that I'm spiritually grounded and fit and all that does not mean that I am really empowered over you. It only means I am empowered over me. But what it can give me is a sense of being able to connect up with people. It's like, "Okay, I want to get these things done. Okay, let's sit down and talk about it." And I, because I'm empowered over me, I can listen to your contrary opinions. I can listen to what you want to do. I can understand and empathize with some of your needs and your wants and your desires. And we can put together a plan that's going to work for all of us. So you see, there's the benefit. But it doesn't always happen like that, because sometimes I get on a roll, you know, and when I'm on a roll, I can get dangerous. So I'm going to tie this into Narcotics Anonymous, and then I'm going to give you guys, you know, some freedom from, you know, because they say you can only, a brain can only absorb what the ass can stand. So I can make you sit too long. Gratitude in Narcotics Anonymous is that if you want to get back, if you are feeling like, "Look, I got some recovery now. I understand this stuff. I've got 3, 4, 5 years. I've got 8 or 10 years. I get what's going on here. I have some experience. I have some, you know, I sponsor some people, so I got some peeps. I got a thing going on." And you want to then be able to bring that in and help steer the direction of Narcotics Anonymous in a productive way. That's a good feeling on the inside. But understand that your personal empowerment, which you've gotten from going to meetings, you've gotten from staying clean, you've gotten from working the steps and from having a network, does not, in fact, empower everybody else. And many of them are going to wind up having some problems, some pushback on that. And that is really where not only our traditions, but our concepts come into place. Now, I'm not going to make this a concepts meeting. I like that. But I will tell you that the purpose of our concepts is to take people who have experience, who have been around for a while, who know what this thing is doing, and to be able to tell us we need to be more inclusive. We need to listen to everybody's ideas. We need to be willing to be able to bring in the new ideas. We need to be responsible when we choose our leaders, when we choose our trusted servants, when we choose our treasurers. We need to show up in a much broader way. We've gone from just the simple gratitude of thank you, God, that there's a fellowship which comes from our traditions, to the personal gratitude, which is thank you, God, that I have found some solutions to my Allen-ness, my addiction, which is what we find in the steps, to we now need to bring that to everybody else and make this fellowship more work by looking at our concepts and being more inclusive and more loving and more concerned and more cooperative in our service and other commitments like that. So, we've got, tradition, steps, and concepts. It's a hell of a program. Thanks for letting me share. Let's see. Oh, yeah, we close with the serenity prayer, right? Circle up and do another serenity prayer.
Do we?
Yeah. Yeah. Can we guys join us for the circle up and do a serenity prayer, if you don't mind? Glasses, because I can't see myself without my glasses.
Wow.
I'm sorry, right?
Here, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Rudy.
Hey.
Marvin, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, I'd love to.
You don't need a tape. I gotta buy it anyway.
Trying to take some of my sponsors' time.
You live in Virginia?
Yeah, live in Virginia.
Whereabouts?
Out by Dulles Court, Dulles Airport, out that way.
Oh, you're on 66.
Yeah, actually, Route 7, out 7. Like Leesburg, out towards 7, that kind of way. Yeah. Right, I love this. See, I'm carrying around my number instead of my name. I think that's awesome.
No, this is my prison walk.
Your prison walk.
That's it. It's like a pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wear pocketbooks. That's what's
I got you. But
I was traumatized when you went to bed.
You didn't see Seinfeld? It's a man bag.
That's smaller than a usual one.
A man purse.
My usual one.
Yeah.
Huh?
What about the child?
Well, you know what? It's. Hang on. Okay, we'll turn that down so that we're not like, you know. Oh, wait, we can do that instead. You know, the trials really don't implicate it there. I mean, you know, press, radio, and film is. And those kind of other, you know, breaking people's anonymity and that kind of stuff is not really part of. What are we thinking? I mean, you know, NA is not expressing an opinion about anything. You know, I mean, Tenth Tradition is we don't have any opinion on outside issues. Hence, the NA name will never be brought into public controversy. Now, it is a problem. I don't know if you know about this, but apparently Ali had called a, who's that, Jerry Springer, but it's the black guy who the black Jerry Springer. Yeah. So Ali called them and said, hey, hello. Oh, well, thanks, bud.
I thought you were going to tie it in with the 12 points to assure our future.
I'm a
dog. Oh, well, thank you. Hang on. I never knew we had so much in common. Okay.
You guys remember, like, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah,
wasn't that awesome?
Wait, Faith, I need your number.
Yeah, that was right.
Give me a
call.
Yeah.
I'll call you in just a couple of minutes so that we wind up.
That's why I gave you a little
bit. Yeah.
I'm not one now. I'm
not wearing one.
Okay.
What's your area code?
703.
Oh, I'm bringing down. I hear.
Yep, there it is. Okay, that's perfect.
So, yeah, it's really good.
Faith, are these yours or? Oh, thank you. There you are. The, actually, that's a good question.
That says the name of the condo. It's a great condo. It's walking distance. Right across the street.
Oh, okay. This thing keeps humming like it's got something important going on.
I'm trying to narrow down a time. It's convenient for you.
Well, actually...
I know you want it all over the place.
Well, no, it's not quite that good. Thank you. But we got to get out of here because people are going to... let's see. I've got, yeah, Kenny at 12:30, I guess. 12:45, or whenever. Illness and recovery. So, I don't know, that's funny. It looks like 12:30 or 12:45, somewhere around there. Yeah, that's just, I was sitting next to somebody last night who was like...
I did that for about 8 hours. On accident, though. I don't do any service anymore. is actually pretty
good. It's crazy. Actually, you know what? Convention information is my favorite.
It's better in the days. They catch you from outside.
Yeah, they really do.